Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
I really do feel that way. And if you don't like it, at NELL_BTP or 2F. 301-230-0980. Sorry, wrong number.
Matt, you're a dog, young.
Man, my guy, Matty Ice.
Can you stay with me tonight?
Cold as ice. Cold as ice. I love it. Wait, can you do that again? I'm sorry. I didn't hear that.
I really do feel that way. And if you don't like it, at NELL_BTP or 2F. 301-230-0980. Sorry,
I don't know what it is, but like throughout the world, anytime you hear something bleeped out, it's funny. It just is.
Well, what's even funnier is that Matt had to bleep out you giving out your personal number.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So, I mean, if anybody wants to call and harass Linnell, it's 240. How much do I want to go here? How far do I want to go?
I'm surprised someone of your age can remember and recite 10 digits in a row.
Exactly. Luke McCaffrey is scheduled to join us in about 28 minutes or so right here on the Team 980. Might be just a smidge before 3:30, dealing with practice schedules and meeting schedules and all of that. I was just watching again his catch. He only had one reception the other day, 17 yards.
Mm-hmm. It's a good catch.
What a catch. I mean, it was a bullet. But what a catch. Outstretched. It was a little bit high. I mean, he went up and got it. But I'm so impressed by his all-around game, so I'm excited to talk to him about that as well. All right, that's coming up right around 3:30, so stay tuned for that. I wanted to spend a few minutes before we get to clean up on aisle three with this. The defense was just harpooned after the first three games, right? Yeah. Worst DVOA this, worst DVOA that. I don't care that much about DVOA. I understand what it is, it's a complicated formula. I get what it's trying to do. I know what my eyes tell me, and they got off the field in several key spots in the first half in Cincinnati. They helped win that game. Were they the reason why? Of course not. Were they a big reason? Of course not. But they helped win that game. They don't win that game without the defense getting off the field several times in the first half. Last Sunday, granted, against a not as explosive offense, and certainly maybe not as desperate or as wounded, if you will, as the Bengals were, but still, Kyler Murray, Marvin Harrison Jr., Dortch had a couple of big catches, James Conner, so on and so forth. Again, not as good of an offense. They gave up 14 points, and I thought, Linnell, The bad drive was the third quarter touchdown. I thought they were tired. I thought they were lazy. They had their backup defensive tackles in, Mathis and Johnny
about
Newton.
To start the third quarter? To start the second
half? The touchdown drive for the Cardinals in the third quarter.
Right, but Washington started the second half with Johnny and Phil in the game.
Yes.
On that first defensive possession.
Yes, but
this was after that 7-minute drive.
Right, they were rotating and all that stuff. But some people think they were getting benched. I don't think they got benched. I just think they're trying to do the smart thing, which is preserve as many snaps as you possibly can and give those guys some extra reps. Either way, the touchdown drive for Arizona in the third quarter, second half, I thought was a poor defensive series.
Yeah,
I thought they were lazy. Lazy might be a stretch. I thought they were not as engaged. I thought they were sloppy. Fedarian Mathis and Johnny Newton both got double teamed on a James Conner run 20 yards up the middle, and one of them got disengaged. I think it was Newton on the double team, but he was pushed over. Mathis was double teamed, but then he disengaged off of that, and he had an opportunity to maybe slow down James Conner, and Conner went right through the hole, right through the gap, and Mathis looked tired, sloppy, whatever. A couple of runs inside the 15, so on and so forth. They gave up 7 points. The first drive, I don't blame them at all. They gave up a long kickoff return, which was made longer by a fumble that was forced by Jeremy Chinn that advanced the ball another 5 or 6 yards. They scored on a 4th and goal, a beautiful throw, a beautiful catch on a great little switch route.
Noah I just gets no hands on Marvin.
Yeah, but again, like, he's Marvin frickin' Harrison Jr. He's the number 4 overall pick for a reason, right? Could Noah Igbinoghene do a better job? Sure.
Yes.
But the point of the matter is, I thought on that first drive, Bobby Wagner had a big run stop inside the 10. I think Jeremy Chinn had a big run stop inside the 10 as well. They forced the 4th down. Again, the Cardinals started that possession almost at their 45-yard line. I don't kill the defense like a lot of other people did and do for everything that they give up. Now, maybe I'm being too soft. Maybe I'm being too easy. I don't think the defense is as bad as people think it is. I understand it's not good. I'm not suggesting that it's good.
Here's the thing, though.
I don't think it's as bad as people think it is.
It's as bad as it is because they're being aided by an offense tremendously. Last year, the excuse for the defense is, oh, the offense can't sustain a drive. They got to play so many snaps. Washington had multiple drives on Sunday that were 5 minutes plus. That's plenty of time to sit on the sideline, be on the notepad, be on the iPad, drink your Gatorade, be refreshed to come back in and wreak havoc. They don't. The problem with Washington defensively, and this is my bigger issue and why I'm scared, it's not a personnel thing. It's a schematic thing. I think it's personnel and schematic, but defensively, if you can't stop the run, what's the one thing Washington does well defensively? Can you tell me that?
Well, right now they're tackling better, is how I would say it. And I think they're more physical than they're being given credit for.
How was the better tackling when
not on every play. Not on every play. But I think as a whole, you would give me the last two games, Chinn. Luvu. I mean, Dorrance Armstrong's been really good. Fowler wasn't as good Sunday as he was on Monday. I mean, finally, Allen and Payne gave you something.
Better. They're getting better, but my point is this. Like, there's still not one thing that they do well that you can hang your hat on and say,
I would agree.
Do this defensively. I think they're getting closer to playing to the identity, and I think that's the first thing, first and foremost. Before you are proper with your assignment, before you're proper for your technique, you can make the wrong play or make a mistake. Make it at 100 miles an hour. That's the thing to me.
You don't think that guys like Luvu and Chinn, at least the last couple of games, are playing 100 miles an hour?
That's the problem. You're saying guys like. It's got to be a non-negotiable. Everybody that plays a snap for this defense should embody that mentality. That is how you set a standard and a culture for what you want to be on that side of the ball.
Do you think Allen and Payne were better on Sunday than they have been the first three games?
They were better. Still not impactful
Fine.
Enough.
I would agree.
They were better.
Dorrance Armstrong,
did
he?
It's hard to be better when you sucked.
Okay, did Dorrance Armstrong play hard and good?
I thought so.
Right? Was Frankie Louvu a maniac on Sunday?
Defensively, they played really well Sunday, Chris. I'm not taking that away from them at all.
Granted, it's not as good of an offense as Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and T. Higgins and the Bengals.
No,
I got
it's not. But this is my other thing, too, that I want to see how long this lasts. I thought Emmanuel Forbes, in the limited snaps he played, I thought he had a really good run fit where he takes on an offensive tackle and allows the linebacker to be free and kept clean to make the play. I like stuff like that. I thought his pass, thought he did a good job. And staying in phase while getting his head around on the one shot up the right sideline. I thought he did a good job with that. But one thing that we just have not, I don't want to say we have not talked about it, but we haven't harped on it a lot. I think their pass defense has gotten better. But I think the move to Mike Samuels still at outside corner with Benjamin St. Juice, I think has paid off for them. There's a third down where they send a guy in motion and Samuels still has to chase the wide receiver across the formation, and they run that rub route that has gotten Washington for years in the secondary, and after the play, they just look at each other like they're stupid. St. Juice and Samuels still communicated and passed it off so well, and it allowed Dorrance Armstrong to get his first sack.
Well, because they made Kyler it's interesting hold the that football. It's interesting that you bring that up. First of all, Kyler's got to get rid of that football. He goes to throw it and he
held
brings
it because
it back.
They they forced him to hold it.
Like watching the game live, and I immediately tweeted it. I said Sanders still is going from the right side of the formation to the left side of the formation, and he is communicating like a mother. I don't know what he's saying. I don't know what he's doing. You obviously picked up a little bit more. Fine. I would say this.
It goes back to what I was saying. I have more confidence in the back seven than the front four.
But I would also say, and you mentioned Forbes, like Forbes gave up a couple of things the other day.
Yeah,
but
he had a pick. He should have had a pick.
But I thought he played reasonably well. I thought he used his body positioning on a deep incomplete. Maybe it would have been out of bounds anyway, but I thought he used his body positioned well, which is something he didn't always do, considering his sleight of frame. The one area that I'm interested in, on one tackle attempt on that scoring drive that I was mentioning in the third quarter, Connor came around the right edge, and Forbes went to tackle him with his right hand, and he immediately starts shaking his hand. So I don't know how good his tackling is going to be. I mean, it wasn't good to begin with. Exactly. I don't know how good it's going to be. But I think the emergence of Chin over the last two games, who, you're right, had played poorly in the first two games.
He's been really good the last two
games. The emergence of Chin in the last two games and more of what we expected out of Frankie Louvu. I think Bobby Wagner has been...
Man, Bobby's played his ass off.
I was going to say, has been good. Has been pretty good. I don't want to say he's been perfect by any stretch. He, you know, again, there was one run that went right around him, missed a tackle, what have you. There was one time he was bailed out actually by... bailed out might be strong. Dorrance Armstrong was just boogieing and chasing Kyler Murray backside, and Murray kind of didn't flip his hips completely, and Bobby Wagner was exposed one-on-one with Marvin Harrison Jr. It would have been, you know, maybe an 8, 9, 10-yard gain somewhere in that range, but Bobby Wagner was asked to basically cover Marvin Harrison Jr. In wide-open grass, and because Armstrong had just been bearing down on Kyler Murray, it forced Kyler Murray to make a little bit poorer of a throw, and they got away with it. But the point of the matter is, I think we've seen a steady improvement. Now, the one thing that I will say this. Against the Giants, they tackled poorly. They gave up too much running ground to a pedet average running offense, Devin Singletary, Daniel Jones, what have you. But they only allowed 18 points. Right? Now, some of that was on the Giants. Again, they would have allowed more points than that. Malik Nabers drops a key fourth down. I got it. Some of that was because no Graham Gano. I got it. I understand that. But they only allowed 18 points. And again, in the Monday night game, they allowed 33 points, but they got off the field in several big spots, and they almost, and I know almost only counts in certain things, horseshoes, hand grenades, and maybe some other things that I can't say on the radio. But they almost got off the field on fourth and inches. I think the light is on. As they say for Motel, I think the light is more than on,
Chris,
for this defense.
You're 29th in the NFL in yards per
I don't
attempt.
Care about
no,
statistics.
No, you need to, Chris.
No, I don't
if
care
you
about
can't
statistics.
Stop the run. You
stop
can't do
looking
anything
at
else
statistics.
Defensively. They can't stop the run, Chris.
They have gotten better.
The reason Arizona
better.
Had to go away from
They've
it
gotten
is because
better.
Their offense is going at a historic clip.
They've gotten better.
That's the only reason.
They've gotten
that their
better.
Run defense hasn't been exposed
you cannot say
more.
That they. You cannot say that every single running attempt they're getting bludgeoned. That's not true.
It's not every attempt, but if it
they
was,
are giving
damn.
Up some big gains, yes. I just described one of them, which they gave up 20 yards. They should have probably given up three. I got it. I understand that.
They're giving up too much on first
I don't
and second
I don't
down,
disagree with
period.
That, but to say
it's
that
a
just
problem.
Because... Yeah, of course
because
it's a problem.
Because it leads to all the
it's
other
getting
problems,
better.
Chris.
Whether it's because they're in the wrong gaps, whether it's because of bad
because
tackling, what have you.
Is this,
it's
is
a combination
leads,
of things.
It is the it leads to all of their other problems.
I understand that, but if their pass rush, if their coverage,
you
if their
the
team
right, the
tackling,
right the
if everybody's getting better,
be
if everybody is getting better, which they are, I believe they are getting better, their run defense is going to get better.
Chris, how do you rush the passer when you are on your heels as an edge rusher, worrying about stopping the run?
If their run defense is as bad as you're saying it is, and as bad as the number nerds say it is, how were they able to rush the passer on Sunday, a guy who
because
is incredibly hard to contain?
Because they got up and built a big
so
lead.
So they didn't, they didn't rush the passer in the first half. That wasn't a
they didn't walk the ball down the field on the first drive, Chris.
Did you not listen to me? They started that possession at the 45-yard line.
And
that doesn't matter,
Chris. The bottom
that doesn't count,
Chris. They
gave up
they
a fourth
built,
and goal.
Chris,
on
they,
a perfect throw and a perfect catch.
Good gracious. They built a lead, and it prevented Arizona
what
from
did they
running
do
the
for six, five drives out of six in the first half? They had this monstrous lead. It was 17-7 at the half, for God's sakes. Stop
called,
with that nonsense.
And it caused them to get away from running the football. They stopped.
It was 17-7 at the half.
Chris.
They weren't Chris. Giving up on running the football in the first half. They got five defensive stops.
So now this is where we get to go back and play-by-play and chart each of the plays.
We don't have time to
no,
do
we
that.
Do.
That's the truth. You don't have to chart anything. That's the damn truth. I've watched the game over 10 times. You ain't the only one that watches the game back.
You know what? You know where they screwed up? Their second drive, six plays, 28 yards, and a punt. First play is a 5-yard run to James Conner.
Oh, my God.
Second play is a 12-yard run to James Conner.
Yeah.
On first down, they get too smart for their own good. 10-yard completion of Marvin Harrison. Then they throw it again back-to-back downs.
How many yards did they give up on that drive? 28. I'm looking at it right here. Six plays, 28 yards.
Chris, the play
is
calling
the
for
summation
Arizona
of the drive.
Stunk. Why stop running the ball if Washington has no interest in stopping it? They stopped
so
running
they
the ball.
So they should have ran it every down.
Chris, they stopped running okay. the football, man. They put themselves behind the chains, and that's how Washington was able to earn the right to rush the pass.
Coming up, clean up on aisle three. We'll get more into the defense tomorrow because Mr. Youngest in Charge has a question that we need to address that we haven't gotten to. We will do that. Luke McCaffrey, 15 minutes or so away, maybe a little bit less. Stay tuned for that. How good is Jaden Daniels in his eyes? Plus, clean up on aisle three coming next. Stay tuned on the team. All right, Commanders fans, don't forget Luke McCaffrey going to join us in about 10 minutes. Don't go anywhere. Quick is what he wanted to say. Not a click. Quick, clean up on aisle three. I hope Matt's okay with it. Because I didn't really ask. What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two. A mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. Baseball playoffs, day two, already underway in H-Town. The Tigers looking to eliminate the Houston Astros. 0-0 in the middle of the third. Coming up later on, 4:30 Camden Yards. Kansas City looking for the two-game sweep over Baltimore. Again, on the road. Mets trying to do the same 7:30 tonight against the Milwaukee Brewers. At 8:30 tonight from Petco Park, San Diego looks to end Atlanta's season. So the question that I have for you, Mr. Baseball, Mr. Seamhead, I know how much you love the game. I know how much you study it, how much you have a passion for it, burning passion. You do minors and majors on SiriusXM when Grant's not available. Are the two game or the best of three and possibly just two game series in the AL and NL wild card wildly unfair, or is it fair based off of a 162 game regular season?
So correct me if I'm wrong here. Is it a home away format or no?
It is. So basically, no. It's all the higher seed. Their
it's
home
not
game.
Fair, yeah. No, that I would say that, yeah. For that reason, it's probably not fair. It's only three games,
right?
So I think if it's going to be three games, the higher seed should get game one at home, which is the more important games, the tone setter for the
which
series.
Which they do. They get games
and they
one and two.
Also should get game three if there is a game three.
Yeah. They get games one and two. So, I should double-click on that. I got to double-check that because they've changed the rules around so many times. I believe it's all at the higher seed, but I would have to double-check
that would be my draw,
I know right. Games one and two are at the higher seed. So, in other words, Baltimore is hosting games one and two. You know what? I think they do go now. Game three is at the road team. Or the road team for games one and two. I think that is the way it works. Meaning Detroit, if they don't win today, Kansas City, if they don't win today. Same thing for the Brewers, if they don't win today.
Yeah.
You got to go game three to the other location, right? The other city, i.e. back to Detroit for game three, back to Kansas City for game three, Citi Field for the Mets. Either way, I do think it is too short. To me, you play 162. That's not to determine who is best in October. That's to determine who gets to October.
Right.
I think the Orioles faced this last year. The Brewers faced this last year. They were swept by the Diamondbacks. The Orioles were swept by the Texas Rangers. Just bamboozled. All of these teams, obviously, that lost yesterday, their seasons could be over today. It's better than a one-game wild card, and I know we have that in other sports, i.e. the NFL. I got it. It's a different sport. You can't play multiple games. In a sport that plays 162 regular season games, for the love of humanity, let's shorten the regular season to 154 and play a best three out of five in the wild card round.
If that's
however
solution,
we do it, let's do it.
And that seems like a clear, easy solution to it. But I just think I don't know.
You know why it doesn't happen, though?
Why?
Guaranteed money out of the owner's pockets.
I hear that, but like... From a rating standpoint, like, doesn't baseball not get it? How doesn't Major League Baseball understand this? If you didn't have,
because they only care about money.
If you didn't have as many games, there would be more eyeballs on your product. It's the same way with the NBA. Like, an 82 game regular season is excessive. I understand the TV deals, and
but in order to keep up with the people that you want to pay all the money to and give all of the carrots to,
why don't we do fundraisers?
Why don't we do that?
Stand outside of,
we'll shake a can right on the corner of Half Street.
Stand outside of Big Stick and give away coupons.
There you go. All right, moving along to that. We mentioned Luka Doncic out for about a week, calf injury, calf contusion. The season doesn't start for a couple of weeks. I don't think this should be an issue. But any reason for concern for the Western Conference champion Mavericks, given the news and given that we're not doctors?
Yeah. Yes. Luka was banged up. That was the whole built-in excuse for him last postseason, mm-hmm. that he was hurt. Now he's hurt again?
Yeah. He's always kind of basically flailing and limping around.
Here we go. Leave it up to the DMV's favorite hyperbolic uncle, Chris Russell.
He is.
To say now Luka's always hurt. And you're always crowing.
You're so funny. Not really. And that, my friends, is clean up on aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three.
Where did you guys get that woman's voice from?
I don't know. We just found
Who
her on the
that,
street.
Matt?
She was shaking a can for the learners.
From a movie.
Clean Let's up on aisle three.
Do a trending alert right here, right now. And then Luke McCaffrey expected to join us on the other side.
Luke!
All right, again, the Commander is off the practice field. Austin Eckler was on the side as he tries to rebound from concussion protocol. He may be able to practice a little bit later on in the week. We will see. Host the Cleveland Browns. They activated the practice window for Marcus Mariota and others, put Jamison Crowder on IR. Meanwhile, the Vikings tight end, T.J. Hockenson, as we talked about earlier in the show, expected to practice Friday in London with the Vikings as they get set to take on the New York Jets and Aaron Rodgers on Sunday morning football in London. Meanwhile, the Nats, of course, their season is done, but as we just talked about, four potential series-ending AL and NL wildcard games on tap for today, one already in the fourth inning, Detroit and Houston, nothing-nothing, and that's what's trending. All right, 3:30 on the nose. Good to have you with us in the DMV and across, really, North America and the world on the Odyssey app. Always live and free there. Commanders back on the practice field today, getting set for the Cleveland Browns this Sunday at Northwest Stadium. 1 o'clock kickoff. We'll have all day coverage for you. Linnell will be a part of that. Of course, a couple hours before the game, during the game, I'll be at Northwest Stadium where we'll all be watching Luke McCaffrey and the Washington Commanders take on the Cleveland Browns. And speaking of Luke McCaffrey, he joins us right now from Ashburn. Hey, Luke, it's Chris Russell here, Linnell Willingham there. Thanks so much for doing this. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me on.
No, I appreciate you making some time for us. You know, Luke, I've only talked to you, I think, once. I don't know how many times Linnell's talked to you during camp, but, you know, you always seem like, you know, a happy-go-lucky guy, right? I know you love your football. Everybody knows your family. How would you describe your personality? Because to me, you come across as a dude who's, you know what you are, but you're also really, really happy playing the game and loving the game.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm passionate about football, and I love the game, and it's a shame to not appreciate that. I think my college journey was so lucky because I had some adversity. I went through some different things, and so it just grew an appreciation for football, for the camaraderie that it brings, for the joy that it brings, and everything that has to do with football. And so I'm just so thankful to be out on the field and to be a part of a team and organization that does things the right way, like we've been doing, and focuses on growth and getting better and how to master your process. And so it's such a blast being here. I'm so excited and so pumped to be back at home this weekend. I know last week felt like a home game, but this has been awesome.
Luke, give me a second here to give you a corny nickname. Luke Skywalker, right? You're familiar with Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
I've never seen Star Wars. I think it's the dorkiest thing ever, but I'm going to call you Luke Turf Walker, baby. Because you're getting open at a crazy rate right now. I think you've done a tremendous job. But I want to get into your mentality here for a second, because the one thing that I think folks don't understand about football. And tell them to keep it down, Luke. I'm joking, brother.
You just got slimed by Nickelodeon right there.
What just happened?
I think Jaden won, Nickelodeon Awards. He just got slime.
Oh, my goodness. Jaden Daniels got slime? That's awesome.
But no, Luke, I mean, obviously, you're seeing a high volume of snaps right now. It wasn't like that in terms of the preseason and training camp. You've sort of had to, like, wait your turn and allow the rest of the wide receiver room to churn. How have you maintained your confidence during that time period? And were you ever concerned about, hey, am I going to be in the mix here at wide receiver?
Yeah, I think that's all part of the process, right? I think we have such a great approach here in Ashburn of just how we focus on getting better, on improving, on doing everything as well as you possibly can. So when it comes to worrying about anything else, whether it's, what other teams are doing, whether it's the competition aspect, we all, are constantly in that phase of competing with yourself, of trying to get better every single day and trying to master the art. You know, for me, it's blocking, it's route running, it's trying to get open, it's making every contested catch, every non-contested catch, how to maximize yak. And so it's just learning how to master and fall in love with every part of what it takes to be a receiver, to be an offensive weapon, and ultimately to be a football player. And so it's been such a cool process, and it's so much of a blessing to have just the people between Bobby Engram, between Cliff, between, you know, Jaden, who are the guys who, you know, communicate and help coach and teach, and we get on the same page and build chemistry and just grow and continue to compete from there.
Luke McCaffrey joining us, rookie for the Commanders, as they're home for the Cleveland Browns Sunday afternoon at Northwest Stadium. Join us. You only had the one catch for 17 yards on Sunday, but it was a doozy. And, you know, I love watching a high-powered offense? But I love, like, what Kingsbury does with you guys. I mean, that one catch came out of a three-receiver cluster to the right. You're spraying all over the place. Jaden, you know, fires a seed. You stretch out, reach out, and get it. Big first down on 2nd and 15. That sets up a critical touchdown. Talk about this system and the fit and the creative ways that, I mean, I'm watching all of this tape, right, and going back and watching all these 3x2s and 5 receiver. It's nuts to watch on television. What is it like to play in it?
Oh, it's awesome. I think Cliff does such a great job of just matching personnel, being able to see things. That, I mean, that play specifically that you were talking about, we put in, I think, the day before as a late ad. We'd had it as a play in camp, and so we'd run it before. We had reps at it, but we saw what they were doing to the bunch, where they run what you call trio, which is where they're manning the point guy who's right in front of the bunch at number 3, who's the inside guy on the bunch, and then the other two guys are playing in and out. So we knew we'd be able to get leverage, but I think it helps, too, when, you know, Cliff just has trust in us to be able to learn that, to go out and execute. And then, you know, it obviously helps when you got a great gunslinger with Jaden, who takes care of the ball and does such a good job of just seeing the field. And so it's cool when you have all those pieces together. You're allowed to do a lot of fun things and then start mixing in the personnels, whether it's, you know, 3 tight ends, whether it's 5 receivers. It gives the defense a lot to prepare for every single week, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've dubbed it, Luke, exotic smash mouth football. That's the best way I can describe what you all are doing right now.
Don't give him any ideas, Luke, because he's going to put that on a t-shirt.
Luke,
slogan.
I'm trying to put it on t-shirts. I'm putting it on bumper stickers, license plates.
You know what I call it? Winning football. That's what I call it. Nice and boring.
It's awesome. Clearly, there's an emphasis on you guys to stay ahead of the chains, and it's helped everything. But in terms of installing all of it, when you have so many different personnel groupings, the verbiage and stuff could get difficult, and it becomes easy, you know, to mess up when you're a guy that's playing multiple spots like you are. One thing I read about, though, is something that's unique to Cliff Kingsbury, the way he handles walkthroughs and how much time you guys spend doing walkthroughs. Can you touch on that a little bit and how beneficial that's been for you in terms of translating what you're learning in the classroom onto the field?
Yeah, holy cow. It's been awesome, and it's been a lot of fun to go through walkthroughs, too, because, you know, we're a signal system. We do huddle, but you know, we like to use our tempo and use the ability to get on the ball as fast as we can to just see what the defense is doing and hopefully make it a little bit more vanilla. But to do that, you have to learn it through walkthroughs, right? Just because it's a different operation than a lot of guys are used
and
to.
And, Luke, I would say this, not to cut you off, brother.
Not to cut you off, brother.
I think casual fans look at walkthroughs and sometimes they don't understand the value of it all the way. I know when I was in college, walkthroughs are kind of annoying, especially if you're a guy that's not going to play or a starter. But clearly there's been some benefit for you guys there.
Oh, yeah. No, it's awesome. It's a way, in my opinion, to steal reps, right? To get extra reps on certain plays. And it's been so beneficial.
Luke McCaffrey with us. You can follow him if you're not already doing so. And you should be on the old X machine, McCaffrey, @McCaffrey_Luke. And, of course, a big part of the Commanders. You had the big fourth down catch on Monday night in Cincinnati that keyed that was the first touchdown, I believe it was, the first touchdown drive of the night. You guys have gone for it on fourth down 4 times in the last, again, these last 2 wins on the road. How important is that from Dan, trusting Jaden, and also trusting your line, you guys as receivers, blockers, what have you, to have that kind of faith and not just to go for it because analytics say it, but because you guys are damn good at it already?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've done it in smart situations, too. We've done it at times when, you know, it's positive. Right, and we've been lucky enough to get them, and that's just a choice of execution. But like you said, it just shows us as players that the coaching staff trusts us, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's throwing a ball to Terry to ice the game against Cincy, or whether it's going for it on fourth, it shows that, you know, they have a level of trust in us, and we're going to go out there and fight and battle for them every single play because of it.
Yeah, it's been awesome to watch for you guys. When you look at the matchup this week going up against a secondary in Cleveland that's got, you know, some household names and Denzel Ward and Greg Newsome, and knowing, you know, what Jim Schwartz is going to try to dial up on that side of the football, do you feel like this week you maybe got to put in a little bit extra work to get yourself prepared?
No, I think, you know, we have so much emphasis on every single day just coming to work and putting that preparation in, whether it's for this week or whether it's for 3 weeks from now or whether it's for late in the season or even next year, right? We're just trying to constantly get better and grow. And so I think you approach this week just like we have and make sure you know your alignment, your assignment, and then just see the field well. They do a lot of really good things. Like you said, they got a great edge rusher in Myles Garrett, and they got some good corners.
You excited to chip him, Luke?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you know it. And so, you know, between him and between their corners, whether they're in the slot or outside, you know, they got a really talented team. And so, honestly, we look at it as a fun opportunity to, you know, continue to grow and continue to compete against a great talent.
Luke McCaffrey with us for another couple of minutes from Ashburn. Commanders wrapping up day one of their practice week as they get set for the Cleveland Browns. You already kind of mentioned it earlier. You guys come home. Northwest Stadium should be rocking. You guys are 3-1. Most exciting team right now, I would say, in the league. I know you had a ton of fans in Arizona. Everybody saw that. Everybody heard it. What is it like? What are you guys, are you guys excited, I'm sure, to get back home in front of, you know, the home fans and to feel that juice and feel that energy from, I don't know, 55,000+ as opposed to however many thousand were in Arizona?
Oh, I'm so excited. I like I said, last week felt like a home game, so we got an extra one. And then, you know, finally we come home with a little bit of momentum. I can't wait to you know, play in front of our fans, in front of the DMV, and just see, you know, how the city's embraced what we've done so far this year. We're so excited to do that and then continue to grow and continue to you know, compete and have fun every single week.
The one thing that I keep talking about with you guys, and it was evident being around you all in camp and in the spring, you guys like each other. And I think, you know, you've been in several different locker rooms throughout your career to this point. You've got to grow up around locker rooms. How important has the camaraderie been for you all? I know Frankie mentioned in the summer the leaders of the team, you know, put together, you know, a mission statement. Like that, like how has the accountability factor been in that locker room? And then for you, like getting to see it for the first time as a pro, how would you judge it compared to other places you've been?
It's been awesome. And I think it's been special in the sense of you just have a lot of guys who love football.
Yeah.
And when you have that, you're naturally going to bond. And then, you know, through camp, you compete against each other, you grow. But I think that trip to Arizona was really special because we spent the whole week out there, right? And this is the first time since the whole team's been together that we've had an event like that. And so I thought that was such a cool opportunity for us to just grow together, to bond as people on and off the field. And then, you know, short week on the road, on the West Coast, to get a little grimy, get a little gritty and get to do that whole week, right? Overcome something together. And so that was such a special bonding opportunity for us that I think really brought us closer.
Luke McCaffrey with us. You know, one thing I wanted to spend a minute on, this is very important to me, but I also know it's important to your family. I don't know if you were there, but back in 2011, my son has Down syndrome, and he's now 23 years old. And your dad, Ed McCaffrey, who, you know, a lot of people might remember, three-time Super Bowl champion, has worked extensively with the Global Down Syndrome Foundation. And we had an event out here at Navy Marine Corps Stadium in Annapolis. I don't remember if you were there. You were a young kid at that point, but with Mike Shanahan and just to see the kids. Can you talk a little bit about some of the things that your family have been able to do to help you know, young kids and people with special needs like you did my son and so many people with Down syndrome, and why that's so important to your dad, your family, and the McCaffrey name?
Yeah, no, that is awesome. I wasn't able to make it out here, but every single year back in Colorado where I grew up, we had Dare to Play, which is a football camp and a cheer camp for, you know, kids with Down syndrome. It's partnered with the Global Down Syndrome Foundation, and it's really special to just be able to put on an event, be able to teach people football and be able to, you know, bond and create an opportunity for people with Down syndrome to shine, right? To have to have the spotlight and to go and just have a blast. And so that was something that, you know, we support throughout the whole year. And then there's a big week of camp followed by an awesome game, which, you know, we had thousands of people come out and celebrate and support. And it's such a great opportunity. And it's such a awesome thing for the families, the support systems, and for the kids themselves.
I can speak firsthand. It was an unbelievable event, and I just want to personally thank, you know, your dad and your whole family for everything that you guys have done for Down syndrome. So thank you. I appreciate that very much.
That's awesome. Yeah, thank you so much. That's special.
Luke, well, I know we only got a few minutes left with you. I expect you to find the end zone sooner rather than later. I think it's this week. I think it happens. Just a favor for your boy, Luke. It's one favor. When you find the end zone, or this week as you get prepared to find the end zone, work on your touchdown celebration dances with Jaden and not Terry and B-Rob. We got to get your brothers up to speed, man. You got to act like y'all supposed to be there. Jaden knows what Jaden's got the swagger of, I can't even say it on the radio, but you get with Jaden on the touchdown celebration. Not scary. Scary, keep being scary.
That's awesome. I know I'll have to think something up. I've been close too many times that hopefully.
But look, don't get in there and freeze up now, because that's the worst thing.
I mean, you were pretty close in Cincinnati on that fourth down down catch, and I know this. Jaden got the touchdown, but you were blocking your ass off on that student body right double pull to the right. I saw you, Luke. I saw you doing your thing, going across the field and looking for anybody that you could possibly hit. Dude, you've been awesome so far to watch. Everybody talks about your separation stuff. I love the little things, the jet sweeps, and you know, all that stuff. I know that's coming too. The almost throwback home run thing in Tampa. You've been a lot of fun to watch. Great catch, obviously, last Sunday. Keep it up on Sunday. Enjoy being back at home. And again, thank your family for me, for all the great work that you guys have done on behalf of Down syndrome families and all that. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thanks,
appreciate
Turf you. Walker.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much for having me on today. This was a blast.
Yeah, appreciate you. That is Luke McCaffrey, rookie wide receiver for the Washington Commanders. Really appreciate him joining us. Looking forward to watching him grow and evolve. And we didn't even get to half the things, for God's sakes. I mean, think about it. 2 years ago, he was a quarterback. Yeah. And he started his collegiate career at Nebraska. I think his dad coached him in high school, too, out in Colorado. And just such a great career odyssey. And I know he hasn't made that big, big impact yet. I don't know.
Pretty big.
It's coming. It's coming. I think it's coming, and it might be this Sunday. All right, we got to take a timeout. Dum-dum of the day. Maddie, I think I just found one, unless you had one that I didn't.
Oh, I just
about.
Sent over another option,
you did?
Too.
Okay.
We'll discuss
All right, we'll discuss. We'll have a little, you know, I'm probably going to leave it in the hands of Matt because he's smarter than me. Next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Instead of being drunk on a plane, you might want to take a python on a plane. But then again, you might want to think about that too.
It's time for Dumb Dumb of the Day.
Dateline, Tashkent Airport in Uzbekistan. Maddie found this via metro.co.uk. So a man, unidentified, decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a 10-foot Burmese python through my carry-on luggage at the airport and not declare it and not tell security anything about it. That's right. Let me back up. A 10-foot Burmese python.
Burmese?
Burmese.
Does that mean they're from Bermuda?
No. I don't think so, does it?
I'm on to something with that.
You're on...
What?
You're on something. I don't know if you're on to something. I don't think so. I could be wrong, but whatever. The man was promptly arrested. Customs said, that's not happening. They said the attempt to smuggle a 3-meter snake at the border customs post was uncovered. And of course, it was not allowed because, he didn't declare it. It was tried, again, through security, and he couldn't get through it. Now, the snake itself is okay. It's fine. Being taken care of, what have you. The animal had to be listed in the International Red Book to get permission, whatever that is, to get permission, which is required to import it into the Republic of Uzbekistan. However, the passenger was unable to present such documents to customs. Now they're doing an investigation. The snake has been handed over to the local zoo. Specialists have assessed it as being healthy. This is not the first time something like this has happened. You may remember we did this a couple of years ago, maybe about a year and a half ago. Two women were accused of smuggling 109 different animals through airport security. People, I have just one suggestion, right? It's okay if you want to fly with your dog. You know, you got to pay for it. You got to have the proper stuff. You got to have whatever you got to do. Your cat, I got it. All in. Nobody needs a snake of any kind. Not a 10-foot snake. Not a 1-foot snake. Not a 3-foot snake. No snake of any kind. No snake eyes, nothing. And nobody needs 109 animals to try and get through the airport. You people are literally dumber than dirt. Cue the fool said it already sold.
Congratulations, you're Chris's dum-dum of the day.
What do you think about that there, old LW?
Oh, sounds like something you do.
No. Have you ever had a snake? Like a pet snake?
What are you talking about, Linnell? Of course this wouldn't be him because he'd have it in a laundry hamper.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be in check because Correct. He doesn't check anything because he brings a laundry hamper with him.
Correct.
Not on the plane, Matt. I told you I can't do that. That's only in my car.
Oh, right. You got in trouble at one time. So now
exactly. Have you ever owned a snake? Legally? I mean, this isn't that hard of a question.
No, because I had a... No, I've never owned a damn snake.
Have you owned a snake?
No, I wanted one, but my parents were like, no, we're not dealing with mice.
I had an iguana in college that was not mine. It was my roommate's, but we had to take care of it. Weird creature. Jeeves was its name. Jeeves. Rest in peace, Jeeves.
Jeeves?
No, Jeeves. Jeeves. J-E-E-V-E-S. Jeeves. All right, we're going to actually get out of here on time. Tomorrow, Throwdown Thursday.
Yes,
can the offense save the day when it comes to the defense? We'll discuss that and much, much more. We'll get you update from practice and everything in between. We'll see what else pops up on the old radar. Craig Hoffman is back in studio. He's coming up next with Anthony Haney. They'll take you home. Thanks to all of the callers. Good job out of you guys. Thanks to Luke McCaffrey. Thanks to Sam over at Commander's PR for helping out with that. Thanks to Maddie Ice for... the youngest in charge, at least in his mind. Print it on a t-shirt, baby. I am the Rooster, Chris Russell. Adios. Enjoy your afternoon.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.